This is Dr. Indigo dictating a disability physical for a claimant by the name of Diane Torres. Date of birth, March 19, 1959. Case ID number is 523-9776. Date of exam, August 24, 2023. Duration of examination, 45 minutes. Medical records available prior to examination. Yes, medical records from Doctor's Hospital at the Renaissance, dated 6/9/2022 and 3/30/2023. Identifying information, this is a 64-year-old separated female with four children who presented to my office for a disability evaluation to evaluate allegations of pituitary tumor, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, diabetes mellitus, herniated disc with neuropathy of the cervical spine and lumbar spine, and depression. The claimant is presently unemployed, and her last employment date was in 1998, where she'd worked at as a doctor's receptionist for 1.5 years. She also worked as a cashier for HEB for 6 years, as well as a cashier for another 2 years at another store. During that time, she worked part-time, 5 days out of the week and 4 weeks out of the month. At the present time, she lives in a house with her husband, who she is presently separated from, and her son, and she is not receiving disability benefits at this time. Allegations number one, pituitary tumor. Number two, hypertension. Number three, hypercholesterolemia. Number four, diabetes mellitus. Number five, herniated disc of the cervical spine and lumbar spine. And number six, depression. History of allegations. Number one, pituitary tumor. The claimant states that in 2021, she was seeing a Dr. Jacinto Manon and was diagnosed by MRI of having a pituitary tumor at Doctor's Hospital at the Renaissance, where she was hospitalized for 7 days and surgery was performed to remove the tumor. She states she presented with generalized weakness, decreased balance, and states that she had blurred vision, especially of the lateral fields of her eye. She states she had no difficulty with speaking, but did have decreased memory and some confusion, as well as having 3 complete syncopal episodes. She was evaluated and diagnosed with a pituitary tumor that was removed on removed in December of 2021. She does not recall the exact date. Her residual symptoms include mild weakness, decreased balance, mild blurred vision, normal speech, and sometimes dizziness. She denies any seizures or any other syncopal episodes. Her limitations include being able to walk 1 block, stand for 10 minutes, climb 6 steps, but unable to walk with an assisted device. She is right-handed dominant and is able to write, use a coffee cup, use a skillet, sweep a room, and lift approximately 1 to 2 pounds above her head. She is unable to button her clothes at this time or open up a jar top. She was told there was a 7.5-millimeter left-sided pituitary tumor in the cella turca, which was removed surgically and was benign. However, the surgeon states that only 75% of the pituitary tumor was removed. At the present time, she's being observed closely with MRIs, and she has been offered radiation to destroy the 25% pituitary tumor that was left. However, the claimant has been reluctant to have this treatment. Her condition at this time is better and stable. Allegation number two, hypertension. The claimant states that in 1988, she was having shortness of breath and occipital headaches along with blurred vision. She denies any in-organ damage such as myocardial infarction, cerebral vascular accident, or nephropathy. She is presently taking carvedilol, 12.5 milligrams BID. Her blood pressure at this visit was 138 over 87 mmHg. Her condition is normal and appears to be well controlled at this time. Allegation number 3, hypercholesterolemia. The claimant states that in 2015, she was told that she had a very high cholesterol and lipid level. She denies any cerebral vascular accidents, but states at one time there was a question of whether she had had a myocardial infarction. She was taking atorvastatin, 40 milligrams QD. However, that was not controlling her lipid level, and she was switched over recently to Crestor, 20 milligrams QD. She is being treated for a condition. However, as noted earlier, her lipid levels are not well controlled at this time. Allegation number 4, diabetes mellitus. The claimant states that in 2014, she was having symptoms of polyuria, polyphagia, nocturia, blurred vision, and a weight loss of 70 pounds. She denies any in-organ damage such as retinopathy, nephropathy, or cardiovascular disease. She has had diabetic polyneuropathy of her hands and feet with tingliness and numbness of both areas. She checks her blood glucose once per week and states that it usually comes out between 150 to 160 milligrams/DL. She states the lowest it's ever been is 143 milligrams/DL, and the highest it's ever been is 230 milligrams/DL. At the present time, she is on Jardiance, 25 milligrams QD, Metformin, 1,000 milligrams BID, Trulicity, 3 milligrams Q-week, which she states appears to be controlling her blood glucose levels. Her last hemoglobin A1C was 7.2%, which is fairly well controlled. Her condition is stable at this time. Number 5, herniated disc of the cervical and lumbar sacral back area. The claimant states that in 2020, she was starting to have severe numbness and tingliness of her upper neck area, which radiates down mostly to her right shoulder, although she does have it on her left shoulder as well. She was evaluated and found to have a herniated disc of the C5, C6, and the C6, C7 area with severe stenosis and right radiculopathy with mild left radiculitis. She was started on methylcarbinol, 750 milligrams QD, which does control some of her symptoms. She was also told that she had lumbar sacral back herniated disc, but her physician has told her that her cervical spine is more pending at this time since it appears to be a more serious condition than her lumbar sacral back area. No surgery has been performed because the claimant's insurance ran out. She states the character of the pain is a stiff, sharp pain located in the cervical spine area that radiates mostly down her right arm. Her limitations include being able to walk one block slowly, stand for 10 minutes, sit for 3 hours, lift approximately 1 to 2 pounds above her head, but unable to bend over to pick up clothes. She states that she has no assistive devices that she uses at this time. Her daily activities include sleeping, watching TV, doing light housework, going to the grocery store, cooking, doing the laundry, but not doing any other surgeries or exercise at this time. Her physician is Dr. Manon, who's a neurologist, who did do the pituitary tumor surgery and plans to do the cervical spine surgery as well. She denies seeing a chiropractor or receiving any kind of physical therapy. She is presently on methylcarbinol, 750 milligrams, which does give her some relief. Her condition at this time is stable but guarded, since she does have a severe stenosis and needs surgery to correct her problem. Allegation number six, depression. The claimant states that in 2013, she was starting to have severe depression secondary to multiple problems occurring at her home. She states that she has had suicidal ideation and a suicidal attempt where she took an overdose of aspirin. She states that she suffers from insomnia, decreased appetite, decreased concentration and focusing, decreased motivation, crying spells, decreased energy, and decreased happiness in general in her life. The claimant has been married two times and is presently having problems with her second marriage. She's been married 27 years in her second marriage, but her husband is an alcoholic and she is presently separated from him, which has caused a lot of stress for her, especially noting that they have to live in the same house because they haven't been able to sell the house. She's presently on duloxetine, 60 milligrams QD. And although it does control some of her symptoms, she states that she still feels a lot of anxiety and stress. Limitations, the claimant is able to walk one block, stand for 10 minutes, climb six steps, but unable to squat or bend over to pick up clothes. She is right-handed dominant and is able to write, use a coffee cup, use a skillet, sweep a room, and lift approximately 1 to 2 pounds above her head. She is unable to open up a jar top or button her clothes at this time. Her physician is Dr. Yesenia Falcon, who's a family practice. She has no assisted devices, and she's presbinol, 750 milligrams QD. Her physical activity includes minimal walking. Medications. Vitamin D2, 1.25 milligrams. 2 times per week, duloxetine, 60 milligrams QD, methylcarbinol, 750 milligrams QD, omeprazole, 40 milligrams QD, Crestor, 20 milligrams QD, carvedilol, 25 milligrams, 1/2 tablet BID, Cymbalta, 60 milligrams QD, Ducasate, sodium, 100 milligrams QD, BID, fish oil, BID, Jardiance, 25 milligrams QD, Metformin, 1,000 milligrams BID, Trulicity, 3 milligrams Q week, vitamin D with minerals, oral tablet, 1 tablet QD, medical problems, hypertension, history of COVID-19, diabetes mellitus type 2, depression, hypercholesterolemia, history of pituitary tumor, osteoarthritis, history of herniated disc of C5, C6, and C6, C7, with severe stenosis and right and left radiculopathy. Also, history of lumbar sacral herniated disc with lumbar sacral back pain. Major surgery, transphenoidal resection of the pituitary mass, performed on 10/12/2021 with a 75% removal of the pituitary tumor. Social history. Tobacco, the claimant denies any history of smoking. Alcohol, the claimant denies any history of alcohol abuse. The claimant denies any delirium tremors or seizure disorder. Substance abuse, the claimant denies any use of marijuana, cocaine, crack, heroin, or any IV drug abuse. Communicable diseases, the claimant denies any history of hepatitis, HIV, or any sexually transmitted diseases. Physical examination, temperature is 97.8 Fahrenheit, weight 162 pounds, height 5 feet, 5 and a fourth inches tall, BP 138 over 87 mmHg, heart rate 71 beats per minute, respiration 12 respirations per minute, BMI 27. General, this is a 64-year-old female who appears to be her stated age and is in no acute distress. She also appears to be a reliable historian who presented to my office for a disability examination. Could you please drop down to HEENT? The claimant has a normal cephalic atraumatic head, no scleral extras with nodal or conjunctival petechiae. The fundoscopic examination of undilated pupils appeared to be grossly normal. No oral, pharyngeal, erythema, exudate, or other lesions were noted. External auditory canals were normal in appearance, and no lesions in the nares were noted. Pupils were equally round and reacted to light. However, extraocular movements were mildly decreased. Visual acuity was mildly abnormal. Confrontational visual fields were also mildly abnormal. Snellen vision, OD uncorrected is 20/50, pinhole is 20/50, OS uncorrected is 20/40, pinhole is 20/40, binocular uncorrected is 20/40. The claimant did not present with glasses. Could you please drop down to cerebellar function? The claimant's gait was asymmetric, slow, and unsteady. The claimant did not come with an assistive device. Her hand-eye coordination was good, and finger-to-nose was normal. Heel-to-shin exam was normal, and the lumbar sign was negative. Could you please drop down to muscular skeletal? The claimant did have some palpable muscle spasms and tenderness, especially of the upper extremities. No joint swelling, erythema, effusion, or other deformity was noted. There was abnormal range of motion of the cervical, thoracic, and the lumbar spine. The claimant had difficulty with lateral flexion and rotation of her neck and also had difficulty with flexion of the lumbar sacral spine area. She was unable to forward flex within 3 inches of the floor. There is normal range of motion, motor and sensory findings in the upper and lower extremities, except for her hands, where the claimant has decreased range of motion, motor, and sensory findings in her hands and in her feet. Straight leg raise exam was 80 degrees bilaterally in the sitting position and 30 degrees bilaterally in the supine position, with spasms noted. Sensory examination was abnormal to light touch throughout the body, but especially for the hands and feet. There is decreased range of motion of both knees, with flexion of the right knee being at 100 degrees and the left knee being at 110 degrees. The claimant was unable to squat and get up on her own. Moderate difficulty was noted upon the claimant's ability to rise from a sitting position, and the claimant was able to get up and down from the exam table, but with moderate difficulty. The claimant had moderate difficulty walking on her heels and toes, as well as being able to walk at a tandem rate. She could stand on one foot bilaterally, but was unable to hop on each foot bilaterally. Assisted devices, she presented with no assisted device at this time, but may need one in the future. Neurological exam, grip strength was plus 4/5 bilaterally. However, the claimant is unable to make a full fist, opposed fingers, pinch, or grab at this time. Cranial nerves 2 through 12 did not appear to be intact. The claimant appears to have some problems with extraocular movements and confrontational visual fields, which was mild. Reflexes were symmetrical, and biceps, brachioradialis, patellar, and Achilles reflexes were normal at plus 2. Sensory examination was abnormal to light touch, pinprick, and position sense was abnormal. There is no evidence of muscle wasting, but there are muscle spasms. Muscle strength was plus 4/5. For all tested areas, fine and dexterous finger control is abnormal bilaterally. The claimant does appear to have spasms in the hands and is unable to pinch, oppose fingers, or make a full closed fist at this time. Functional capacity. Based on the current examination, the claimant's ability to sit, stand, move about is mildly restricted. She is able to lift, carry, and handle small objects. The claimant hears and speaks well. There is some evidence of joint deformity, bone and tissue destruction of the cervical spine with bilateral upper arm radiculopathy. The claimant is able to heel, toe, and tandem walk, but with moderate difficulty. There is mildly abnormal grip strength at plus 4/5. Her ability to reach, handle, finger, and feel is moderately restricted. On examination, the claimant shows no evidence of muscle wasting, but does show fatigue. The claimant has mild limitations in her visual fields and in her visual acuity, which more likely than not may be coming from the pituitary tumor that she has. She is able to communicate very well without limitations, but does have some restricted limitations in her workplace environment, secondary to cervical spine stenosis from herniated disc and a pituitary tumor, which has been recently resected. Her condition at this time is stable but guarded. Probable diagnoses: number one, pituitary tumor dash has been surgically removed but still has 25% remnant of the tumor, which is being observed closely and may need to be radiated with radiation. However, her condition is stable at this time. Number two, hypertension being treated at this time. Blood pressure was 138/87 mmHg, which is normal. Number three, hypercholesterolemia being treated with a new medication at this time. The claimant has had difficulty in controlling her her lipid levels. Number four, diabetes mellitus, being treated at this time. Last hemoglobin A1C was 7.2, which is fairly well controlled. Her condition appears to be stable. Number three, herniated disc with neuropathy and bilateral arm radiculopathy has not been treated. Secondary to herniated disc of the cervical spine. However, the claimant is pending surgery whenever she can regain her insurance status. Number six, depression. Being treated at this time with duloxetine, the claimant does appear to be fairly stable in view of all the problems that she's going through at this time. This is the end of the dictation for a claimant by the name of Diane Torres.